That's right. That's right. Today is the day. You know what today is, Mr. Zender?
You're scaring me, but no.
Today is the 100th.
Is it?
Martin Zender, Dan Sheridan show.
Oh, man.
Number 100.
I guess the age of
miracles. Looks like we've made it.
I guess the age of miracles is still upon us.
You and I go together like a wink and a smile.
Sing it.
No, I'm not going to sing it.
Darn it.
Like a wink and a smile. Da, 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 da. Out of key, but who cares? Nice, nice. All right, let's do it. You do the playing. Ready? I remember the days of just keeping time, of hanging around in sleepy towns forever. Back roads empty for miles. Yeah, here we go. Well, you can't have a dream and cut it to fit. But when I saw Martin Zender, I knew we go together like a wink and a smile. Yeah.
Woo,
100 episodes.
Look at Duke dancing back there. I never seen him dance. I don't want to see it again.
That's why there was a 5.5 Richter scale earthquake in Indianapolis. Beautiful. 100 shows. Well, let's get back to the text.
Yeah, we're getting back
to the
text.
We were talking about Pistol Pete. Now, I was bringing out, we were going to 1 Corinthians 6. The context here is they were going before the unbelieving judges, a Roman civil authority, as it were, suing each other. So here there's two believers. Let's say you and I are living in Corinth, and I have a problem with you, and I drag you into court.
We're not living together, are we?
No.
Okay.
Well, that was before. We were once gay, and now we're...
Oh, okay.
Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians that we were once
this.
So let's say you and I are you and I were gay guys, okay?
Oh, please. Oh, can you think of another analogy?
Paul came in. We heard the gospel of grace. We were converted.
Yes, well...
It didn't mean we still didn't have...
Oh, please.
...sexual tendencies or anything like that.
Right.
But we were converted. We realized, you know what? This is not the ideal. We shouldn't live like this.
Mm-hmm.
And God made Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. So we're gonna do what God's ideal is. So,
certainly.
But anyways, you and I have a business deal, and you screw up, so I take you to court. So here are you and I standing before unjust judges.
Yeah.
And we're believers in Christ. What does that say to them? They're no different than we are.
Right.
And that's the context of 1 Corinthians 6, leading up to what you were about to read in verse 9.
Okay. Do you want me to read verse 9?
Well, that's where you started, and I interrupted you to give the context, so we can do that.
Yes, where we left off yesterday. Wherefore are you not rather being cheated? Right, but you are injuring and cheating also in this to brethren. That's the lead up to verse 9.
Yes.
I just read verse 8, context, 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Okay.
Or,
so in other words, instead of you and I going to court, you and I should settle this among our brethren.
With a fist fight or something.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
It shouldn't go to court.
It shouldn't go to court.
Brethren should not sue brothers. We should meet as believers and say, look, we have this problem. Maybe the elders of the local ecclesia who were wiser can help decide this matter for us, rather than us putting Christ on display before the unjust judges.
Okay. Wherefore, are you not aware, verse 9, that the unjust shall not be enjoying the allotment of God's kingdom?
Why does he say that?
I don't know.
You're acting like the unbelievers who have no allotment. They're not part of this kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I might have a slightly different take on
Go ahead.
No, that's fine.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll keep reading. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong.
Be not deceived?
Yes, I will not be deceived. Neither paramours, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor catamites. You don't know what a catamite is?
Yeah, it's a cat that's really, it's a cat that's been petrified.
It's a cat with a bad case of infestation of mites.
Yeah.
No, it's not. A catamite is, it's the receiving.
King James reads,
it's the receiving end of an illicit male relationship.
Yeah, concordant, the King James calls it the effeminate.
Yeah, so there's two parts to a male relationship. There's the sodomite and the catamite. The sodomite is the, nor thieves, nor the greedy. I'm going to talk about this sometime, like maybe today, about how he puts the greedy in this context. Anyway, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall be enjoying the allotment of God's kingdom. And some of you were these, but you are bathed off, you are hallowed, you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God.
See, my point here is Paul is saying you guys are acting just like the unbeliever. This is what characterizes unbeliever, right?
Yeah, he was saying you were once one of
you were once. Now, does that mean that these folks no longer got drunk? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us how they got drunk.
Many Christians would say
that.
I know. Many Christians would say.
This is positional truth. Just when you become converted, mm-hmm. You don't leave your body. God gives you His Spirit, but you're still in a body that lusts, that craves, all these other things. And we can only put to death the deeds of the body through the Spirit. But those things are still resident within you, and anybody listening to the sound of my voice, that's why all these holiness preachers, they all end up with a prostitute, they all end up drunk at bars, the people who preach against this stuff all the time, all have secrets they're hiding. Why? Because man is mortal, and sin is attached to mortality. And what is Paul saying here? He's saying, this is what you once were, but you've been washed, you've been justified. Now, that doesn't mean they no longer have these tendencies. People have the idea, you ever hear these testimonies, the moment you get saved, I lost all my desire to drink. Baloney. Don't tell me you didn't think about it after that. You didn't drive by a bar and lust for your whiskey like you used to be. Don't tell me you drive down the street and see a woman in a bikini and not lust after her. You're lying through your teeth. It has to do with your position. It has to do with your position.
I think a lot of people were probably that way at first. You know how it is when you get on a spiritual high, or it's actually not a spiritual high, it's an emotional high.
Yes.
And you go for 3 or 4 days and you're strong and you're holding forth and you're holding fast.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you start to digress, go back into those tendencies. And I think our friend Pistol Pete here would say that if you do that, let's say that these Corinthians who once were these things, I'll put this scenario in front of you. What if they once were these things? Paul talks them out of it. They go to a meeting where Paul is and they feel good. They come out of the meeting and they're no longer drunkards or revilers. And yet, 3 weeks later, they're slipping back into this. What would Paul say to them? What are they missing at that time? And what does this allotment have to do with it? Because there's a word that is not in Pistol Pete's version of the scripture. He simply says that these people will not inherit God's kingdom. Okay? That's how his version reads. Now, Concordant throws a word in. It doesn't just throw a word in there. There's a word in there that is being untranslated by his version, and that is these will not be enjoying the allotment of God's kingdom. Now, what is an allotment? That's what the question needs to be. First, I would like you to answer that question. In your opinion, what happens if these people are still that?
An allotment is a role to play.
All right, but let's go back to the other question, because I think there are a lot of people who think, okay, I used to, you know, I still have problems. I still have problems with alcohol. I still have problems with sex. I just cheated on my wife last week. And so, I have no peace because I'm reading this verse, and Paul says, I'm not going to have an allotment in the kingdom. Okay, now wait a minute. Paul's telling these people, you were once these things, but the poor guy who's listening to us right now is saying, I wish I could say that. I still am this.
Yeah.
And so I'm being condemned in this passage because the common translation in the mind on this version is you'll never be with God and you will lose your aeonian life. You'll lose your salvation if you go back to any of these sins. How would you answer a person like that?
I would answer exactly what Paul said in the next verse. And such were some of you. You're no longer that. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And after Paul says that, he goes down in the end of the chapter, he says, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in us. What you have from God, you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit which are God's. I would say to somebody like that, it can't touch your life. If you're a believer in Christ, you've been justified. You don't. Obviously, you have problems with these things. You shouldn't feel comfortable doing those things. God doesn't want us to be comfortable. Paul didn't. What did he do to the man who was committing the fornication in chapter 5? He said, get that guy out of here. He's going to affect the rest of you. The issue is not your life. The issue is your practice, your walk. Doing these things is dishonorable. And Paul is pointing that out here. He goes, look, shall I take the members of Christ? Notice he doesn't. and joining them in the harlot. This is a believer doing these things. A believer shouldn't do this. It's not right for him to do this. Paul never questions their life. He questions their behavior. He says, you're a temple of God's Spirit. Don't take a member of Christ, which is your body and mind, and join them to a harlot. That's what he tells them there. It's an indictment. He's pointing the finger at wrong behavior. Just like you and I would do with our children. Our children do wrong behavior. What do we say? Oh, you're under grace. Don't worry about it. No, we say, you stop doing that now or I'm going to whoop your backside.
But it seems here that Paul's saying, stop doing this now or you're not going to inherit an allotment of the kingdom.
It doesn't say that. That's the problem. We're reading something in here that is not there. Paul has just said, is in the context, you're standing before unbelievers. Believers who have no allotment. They have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. They don't belong there. You, on the other hand, have been washed, sanctified, and justified.
And yet I'm still doing it.
That's a different issue.
It is. I'm still doing it. This guy says, I'm still doing it. Paul said, you were once these. I still am this.
Yeah.
People say. And so where is their comfort about not being having an allotment in the kingdom?
He tells you in the next verse, verse 11, you were washed.
So you're saying, let me see if I understand what you're
saying.
Who
was practicing these things? The Corinthians,
The
right?
Corinthians, right.
Does Paul say, you may not have an allotment? No. He says, you were washed, you were sanctified. Here's the Corinthians who were getting drunk at the Lord's table, and they had a man in there committing adulterous relations. Those people, the Corinthians, were washed. That means they were clean. They were sanctified. That means they were set apart to God. They were justified. And yet they were practicing all these things.
We should assume that these people have received the letter to Rome. They've received the letter to the Romans. Because was this written subsequent to Paul's letter to the Romans? Or you don't think
it's irrelevant. I think he taught it.
Irrelevant?
He taught it when he was there.
I think maybe a key is verse 12. Before this show ends, let's go to verse 12. All is allowed me, but not all is expedient. That kind of fits in with what you were just saying.
Yeah.
All is allowed me. Now, it seems like a contradiction to say all is allowed me. Everything that he just said, all these lists of sins, are apparently allowed me as a believer, Paul says. They're allowed me, but not all is expedient. In what way are there multiple ways in which these sins are not expedient, or that is not the right thing to do? As you say, we shouldn't be wallowing in them or enjoying them.
By the way, I wrote in my margin here on verse 12 that you just quoted, Romans 6 through 8, grace is the motivation. Paul could have used a threat, but didn't.
We're going to continue this conversation tomorrow. And again, if you are mired in the mire, you have a Savior, not a condemner. The Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to condemn you, is the one who has saved you.
And he will not condemn you.
And he will not condemn you. We're gonna dig into it even more. We're going to open up some veins of truth for you tomorrow. And we trust you're going to be here with us. I'm Martin Zender. See you then.